1 Samuel chapter 23, we've been working our way through the life of David. And we found out right off the bat that David was a young man of quality. And what I mean quality compared to Saul, who the Bible says was a good man. There was no goodlier person than he. God said that David was a man after his own heart. So we could say he was godly. And we know that David, early on, trusted the Lord by faith. We dealt with chapter 17, where we saw that he was conscious of God's presence, God's power, and God's purpose, which I believe is what made him a man after God's own heart. And we find that he, even after being attacked many times, he was trusting the Lord throughout all of that. And we saw a little time of weakness just a few chapters ago, where David basically took things into his own hands. He got his eyes off of God and placed his eyes on his circumstances and began to make decisions in the flesh, which in turn caused him to sin against other people and against God. And the results of that were disastrous for his own personal testimony and for the lives of other people around him. But we saw that last week he began to turn around. He went to the cave of Adullam, and there he wrote two psalms, and we dealt with one of those last week. And basically now he's turning his eyes back on the Lord, and everything changed. You know, it's amazing how you make decisions based on your circumstances, and you make mistakes, and you get yourself in a mess. But when you get your eyes on the Lord, things change. Now here in 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to begin reading in verse 1, but before we read verse 1, remember why David is where he is, because the Bible tells us in chapter 22, in verse 5, "And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth." So David was instructed to leave the place of comfort, to leave the place of safety, and the word came from the man of God. So the Lord, this was the will of God. So as we begin here, chapter 23, verse 1, notice the Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass, when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod." Now, I want us to go back to chapter 22 and verse 5. And I want you to notice again, as I mentioned earlier, "And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth." I want to talk this evening about this. God's will for David. God's will for David. In the same place, I want us to think about God's will for our lives. Sometimes we think it is my will for God's life. But no, it is God's will for our lives. Now think about it. Another title could be this for the message tonight. Don't miss God's will for your life. Don't miss it. And here we're going to see here that what happens here is the will of God. But it began by the man of God telling to David, go down to Judah. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the place of safety, because I have something for you. Now, when David obeyed, did God tell him what would happen in Judah? He didn't tell him. He just came to Judah, and when he obeyed the Lord, when he was in the will of God, God did wondrous, wonderful things there. So we're going to talk about the will of God this evening here. But I want us to think about these two statements here made by a different man of God about the will of God. The first one is this: the greatest failure with mankind is the failure to know and do God's will. Think about this statement as well. Man's greatest failure is where he has learned to succeed, but not in the will of God. Or man's greatest failure is where he has learned to succeed at the wrong thing. Our greatest failures in life is when we have succeeded in things that were not the will of God for our lives. Now think about the will of God for a moment. And here, David is just simply following God. We're going to see what's going to happen concerning the will of God. But the first thing in this passage we see is, first of all, is the confirming of God's will. The confirming of God's will. Now notice verse 1 of chapter 23. The Bible says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor." Notice verse 2. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Now in the will of God, we're going to see several things happening. The first thing we see that God will do to confirm to us that this is indeed the will of God. In other words, the question we have to ask ourselves, how do we know when something is the will of God for our lives? Do you think that that's important? I think that's really important for the Christian especially, to know and say, you know what, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, the first thing that's going to happen, and when we think about a confirmation for the will of God, is first of all, and by the way, these all go together. They're not standing alone. So the first one is this. By way to confirm the will of God is, first of all, we have God's providence. God's providence. Now let me explain the providence of God here. David did not know what was going on in Judah. When the prophet Gad told David and said, I want you to go down to Judah, he didn't tell him that Keilah was being besieged by the Philistines. He didn't know that. He just obeyed the word of the Lord. It is amazing to know, though, that David, although he didn't know, we have really God's providence. In the first thing is this, we have God's providence because of, first of all, the need. In verse 1, the Bible says, that's how we open the chapter. Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor. Now, Keilah was protected and surrounded by a wall, like most of the cities back in that day in Judah. Therefore, the inhabitants and the farmers of the city were protected. But their farming fields were left unprotected by the attacks of the Philistines. This attack took place just after harvest, because we have the expression, notice at the end of verse 1, the Bible says, and they rob the threshing floors. Now, what does that mean? That means it took place right after harvest. Let me explain here. The corn would be harvested, and they would stack all the corn in an open field ready for the threshing to take away the chaff. Now, this is a lot of work. They didn't have tractors back then. Okay, all this was done by hand. I'm sure they had some hand tools that they used, but this was a lot of work. Now, this was customary for the Philistines to do that, a way that they would benefit from other people's crops, is they would wait right after the harvest when they would gather all the corn and stack it up in the fields. They would go home. And right at that time, the Philistines now are attacking the threshing floor. The Philistines then would take the corn already harvested after they had labored for it. Do you think that it's coincidence that maybe Gad didn't even know that that was happening, but that God sends David down to Judah, not far from the place where the Philistines are invading the threshing floor, taking the crops away from the people in Israel? So think about it. As we think about God's providence, we see the need, but we also see the neglect. The Bible says they told David. Now, I have a question for you. Where are we here in Israel? What's the region? Judah. Who is the ruler in Judah? Saul. But they tell David. I think that's interesting. It is amazing to note that Saul did not come to the aid of the people of Keilah. He only came to Keilah once he heard that David was there. Now, that was his responsibility. Saul was neglecting the basic duty as a king to protect the people he was responsible for. Now, think about it. And it just so happens that David is there. Let me say, that is the providence of God. And God will tell us to do something that many times we don't understand and we don't see really all the circumstances or what will lead up to that. But the providence of God, there will always be a need that needs to be met. And there will always be a neglect. In other words, the need that presents itself is always left there with somebody to tend, but somebody needs to stand up and do something about it. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 23, in verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Saul did not seek to help people, and furthermore, he sought to kill the one who helped the people that he was supposed to help. So, as we think about the will of God, what is it that confirms the will of God in our lives? The first one is providence. The second thing that confirms the will of God is, secondly, we see in this passage, not only is God's providence, but we see David's prayer. In verse 2, the Bible says, now we see the need and the neglect in verse 1. And notice verse 2, the Bible says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Now, we see here David's prayer. And let me say here this, that providence does not stand alone in knowing the will of God. In other words, sometimes people will say things like that. Well, I have a promotion, and this promotion moves me to this particular place. And this promotion, by the way, has me working on Sundays. And this promotion would keep me away from church, but I feel that God has promoted me. He's rewarded my faithfulness throughout all these years. And someone will say, well, that is the will of God because it would not happen. God would not allow this to happen. You see, and we use sometimes providence to say it's the will of God, but it's not. So providence does not stand alone to determine and to confirm the will of God. We have to pray. Prayer is a factor as important, if not more important, than providence. The evidence of a need does not constitute the will of God. If it did, man, you think about sometimes a missionary comes in and you hear about maybe the amount of churches they have in that region of the world, and we think, wow, there's a great need there, but that doesn't mean you're called to go there. So a need and providence does not constitute the will of God. We must pray. Now, I want you to notice this prayer here, because in this prayer we see several things. We first of all see David's duty was to please the Lord. We know that because the Bible tells us, therefore David, he sees the need, he sees the neglect, inquired of the Lord. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto David. In other words here, a person does not seek the Lord in prayer if he does not honestly desire to know what God wants. Now, if we compare this to the previous times while fleeing Saul in the flesh, now David here is earnestly seeking the Lord. Now, previously we saw earlier that he was not seeking the Lord at all. As a matter of fact, he went to Judah, remember, to meet Jonathan, and basically accused Jonathan of not telling him that Saul was attacking him. Then we see later he goes to Ahimelech the priest, and he steals the bread in the tabernacle, and he steals Goliath's sword. He was all acting in the flesh. He was not seeking God. He did not want to know what God's will was for his life. But now he does. He's sincerely inquiring of the Lord and says, God, I want to know what you want here. I want to know your will for my life. This was not about David saying, how can I win the people of Israel to myself? so that they can reject Saul and give me the throne. Here his prayer was all about simply doing exactly what God wanted him to do. That's what he wanted. You see, if it was all about winning the people of Judah to himself, he wouldn't have prayed about it. He would have just gone, hey, if I deliver this people, they're going to like me and maybe they're going to send me a king. No, David stopped and said, God, this is the need. Saul's not taking care of those people and they're coming to me. God, what do you want me to do? You see, so his duty was to please the Lord. Now think about this. John Butler said this earnest concern about the will of God was one of the hallmarks of David's character. This is a character study. Well, one of the greatest things that we know about David is he was earnestly concerned about the will of God for his life. C. Chapman says this, there perhaps never was a life except that of our Savior in which habitual submission to a supreme will was more conspicuous than in the life of David. He wanted to know, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I wonder how many times I've prayed in seeking the Lord's face where I've said maybe, well, God, what do you want me to do? But really not really wanting to know what God wants me to do. But here there is a sincere heart, sincerely wanting to know. So here we see that his duty in his prayer was to please the Lord. Number two, his duty was to protect those experiencing loss. Now, the Bible says, notice, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite the Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and, notice, save Keilah. Now, David, unlike Saul, had a genuine concern for others. This was not his responsibility right now. Now, he was anointed to be king, but it was not his responsibility right now, but rather Saul's responsibility. David did not seek to help the people of Keilah out of a desire to undercut Saul, but rather out of a desire to help God's people. These people need saving. David had many problems himself, but he did not let those problems keep him from helping others. Now, we saw that concern. Remember when his parents came to him to the cave of Adullam? His parents came to him. What did he do? He took them over to Moab to make sure that his parents were taken care of. In the midst of his problems, he honored his parents. He cared for his parents. That's what he did, what he did. And here his concern and his prayer is out of a desire to help those people in need. So his duty was to please the Lord. His duty was to protect those experiencing loss. And number three, his duty was to prepare as a leader. You know, David would one day be the king in Israel. He's been anointed to be the king. And many times we will avoid God-given responsibilities because we are not in a position of leadership. But David had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king in Israel. And here, one commentator put it this way. He said, David was not taken up with the honors of his anointing, but with the duties of his anointing. His interest in his life's calling, he saw it as more about his work than his wages, more about serving than being served. You see, David could have sat back and said, that's not my problem. I'm not the leader yet. But wait a minute, he was anointed to be king. And he knew that one day that would be his responsibility, and he saw that nobody was taking care of that. And he said, God, what do you want me to do? You see, God was preparing him as the next leader in Israel. David here is going to get nothing out of this situation. He's risking his life. He's risking his men's life. For what? He's not the king. So we see here that in his prayer here, David's prayer was in his duty. His duty was to please the Lord, was to protect those experiencing loss, and was to prepare as the leader. Now think about here, this will confirm the will of God in our lives. What will? God's providence. Prayer will confirm the will of God in our lives. God, what did God say? God said, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. So we see, first of all, the confirming of God's will. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Providence, prayer, but the third one is this, is precepts. God said in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines." The word of the Lord here was clear. The Lord said, "Go and smite the Philistines." Now, I know that many people have a hard time, and they say they have a hard time understanding the King James Bible. But I don't think it's difficult to understand, "Go and smite the Philistines." It seems very simple. But let me say here, providence and prayer are not alone in determining the will of God. Now, this is very important because this is where many people fail. We must also be conscious that if providence goes against the Word of God, then providence is superseded by the Word of God. And no amount of praying will compensate for obeying God's Word, and no amount of praying will cancel out the precepts of God's Word. Perhaps prayer helps us discover God's will in God's Word, and that is what prayer concerning the will of God should be about. Many times people will say, "Well, look, it's just evident. Look, God, I got this promotion. This is what God wants me. And, you know, I've prayed about it." Well, let me ask you this. Does that make you miss every service of the church? Do you really think that that's the will of God for your life? And they'll violate a biblical principle. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but so much the more, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of approaching. They're violating a Bible principle. So as we think about that, it is important to understand that when we think about, well, what is God's will for my life? What is it? Providence, prayer, and precept. You want the confirming of the will of God for your life? It's going to take these things and all of them. But let me say this, that the final authority is always the Word of God. We must also know that God revealed His will to David because David was earnestly seeking God's will in his prayer. That's what he was doing. You see, David said, "God, I really want to know what it is that I'm supposed to do." And guess what? God told him exactly what he was to do. So we have the confirming of God's will. Providence, prayer, and precept. But secondly, we need not only see the confirming of God's will, but we see the complications in God's will. Let me say this. If you do the will of God for your life, it's not going to go, as you think many times, as smoothly as you would like. Notice verse 3. The Bible says, "And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Let me say this, when you decide to follow God's will in your life, be sure that opposition, complications, and adverse circumstances will stand against God's will. It's going to happen. That's what Jesus told His disciples. Look, be sure there's going to be sorrow in life. You're going to go through difficulties in life. It is a sure thing. And the moment you decide to do the will of God, you know who's not happy? The devil's not happy. As a matter of fact, he's raging because, by the way, the only people he will attack are the people who are doing the will of God, not the people who are not doing the will of God. Do you think the devil cares for one second to the people that don't care about the will of God? He's not interested in them because they're not doing anything for God. So I'm telling you, then when you do the will of God, you're going to face opposition. Now, the things we've seen, these are not all the complications that could happen or the opposition that could happen, but these are some of them. We see here are two things, really basic things. We see, first of all, is we see that fear often opposes God's will. The Bible tells us, "And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah." They were afraid. You know, fear will often be one of the greatest deterrents to following through and doing God's will. David, think about it. He's excited here. God said, "Go and smite the Philistines." And so he goes to these men and says, "Hey, we're going to go and smite the Philistines." And the men said, "Well, wait a minute. We're afraid." Right off the bat, I mean, I'm thinking, David, I mean, he heard from the Lord. He's excited. But all of a sudden now fear steps in. And now David thinks, well, yeah, we're going against the Philistines. You know, when we make a decision to follow the Lord, in that moment, many emotions will take over. And fear is the predominant emotion. I know many people who have the testimony that when they got saved, and there was the joy and the excitement of salvation, but then they think about their family members. And they think perhaps about witnessing to their family members, and fear starts setting in, and they think, well, I wonder how they're going to receive that. And pretty soon, oftentimes, the motivation to witness to them and to tell them what happened fades away because of fear. Or many times God tells us to do something, and it could be in any area of our lives, to witness to someone at work, or to give a certain amount that the Lord burdens on our heart to give. Whatever it is that God tells us to do, fear will often set in to deter us from doing the will of God. So fear often opposes God's will. But number two is friends often oppose God's will. Here these men were really his friends, because if you think about it, remember David was by himself in the cave of Adullam? And then 400 men now, at this time now that he comes here, there's 600. So there's more people. But imagine at the onset there was 400 men that came to him at the time when he was by himself, where he was being chased around like a dog, and now his friends come to him and say, notice verse 3, and David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah, how much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines. Now think about it. This is what they're saying. David, you want us to go and fight with the Philistines? And then you want us to go to Keilah and expose ourselves? We're hiding right now in the forest. They were in the forest. We're hiding in the forest from Saul. We are in Judah, David. If we go out and manifest ourselves, I don't think that's a good idea. And many times you'll find that friends may want what's best for your lives, but often they forget that we have made a decision according to what is pleasing to God above our own benefits. And I believe that many times friends will be sincere and they'll say, well, why are you making that decision? Why are you being faithful to church? I remember when my father-in-law got saved, was working, had benefits, nice house, in-ground swimming pool and all that stuff, and he got saved. He said, I got to get out of the casino. And then God called him to preach. And he told his family, God's called me to preach. And his family thought, you've lost your marbles. You've gone crazy. What are you thinking? Now, I believe that in the sincerity, they're thinking, you got a good job. Your family is taken care of. Why would you want to forsake all that? And you don't even have a job going out of that. What are you going to do? How are you going to take care of your family? Although it was sincere, many times friends will say things that go against the will of God. And they don't understand the idea that a person has made a decision not based on their own benefits, but based on a desire to please the Lord. So, we see here the complication in God's will. We see the fear often opposes God's will. Friends often oppose God's will. But thirdly, foes will always oppose God's will. Now, the Bible says David's men said, if David was to follow through with obeying the Lord, he would expose himself and his men to Saul. This was not the best time in David's life for him to obey the Lord. Do you get that? This was not a good time. He is hiding. Let me say this. If you are waiting, or if we are waiting for the best time to do God's will, you will never do God's will. It'll never happen. You know, many times people say, well, it's not a good time for me to obey the Lord. This is what I'm going through right now. This is just not a good time. When my life gets in order, or when I get a lighter schedule, then I will do the things that God wants me to do. You see, David's foes could potentially be an adversary to the will of God and opposing the will of God. And David could have said, this is not a good time. You know, I'll wait till Saul stops chasing me. I'll wait till Saul dies, then I can become the king, and then I could deliver a situation like the town of Keilah is in right now. You see, that'll be in opposition to the will of God. So, we've seen only the confirming of God's will, But we see also the complication of God's will. But thirdly, we see the continuing in God's will. So opposition sets in. Okay? His friends speak up and oppose God's will, and they manifest their fear, and we know there's a foe out there. But I want you to think about here, David has a decision to make to continue. He knows what God wants him to do. Go and smite the Philistines. Now the opposition has set in, and now he's got a decision to make. Am I going to listen to the opposition of what I know what God wants me to do, or I'm going to continue in God's will? And he is going to continue in God's will. Notice verse 4. And David inquired of the Lord, notice, yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah. All right. Now let's stop here and let's just think for a moment, because we have here the opposition. And by the way, here we know because of David's status, it was not a good time. But we see that this was by God's providence. David didn't know what was going on, but God knew what was going on. And he brought David, his man, just in time. So not only do we have the providence of God, David prayed about it. He knows that this is God's will, and God spoke to him and says, this is my will. So he has providence, prayer, and precept. But he's got opposition. So he has a decision to make, and he makes the decision to continue the will of God. He inquires of the Lord again. Now, I want us to think here, the requirements for continuing in God's will. There's two requirements that we see here in this passage. The first one is this. It requires private prayer. An emphasis on the private prayer. Notice in verse 4. And David inquired of the Lord yet again. And notice, and the Lord answered who? Him. David. Now his men, David's men, his friends, had manifested their opinion. But here David is praying to the Lord himself. And the Lord answered him. Not the men that were gathered around. He answered David. So as we think about if we are going to continue in the will of God in our lives, we have to continue. It requires private prayer. In prayer. It was David that inquired of the Lord. The men following David were not seeking the Lord for this. They presented their case by trying to lay out the reasons why it was not a good time to go and fight the Philistines. But the Bible tells us, and the Lord answered him, David. That was a personal conversation between the Lord and David. You know, that's where you'll find your strength. When you know that what you're doing is the will of God. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you doing that. That's right. There's no doubt that when God called us to come up here, there's many emotions, but I want you to know that there is going to come times when perhaps we get discouraged. What is it that keeps a person in the place where God wants them to be? Knowing that it's the will of God. And staying there will require private prayer. To reinforce the fact that you remember when you prayed back then, when God confirmed it to you that this was my will for your life, if you continue in that, you will find comfort and you will learn to encourage yourself. By the way, we'll find later that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's exactly what he's doing here. You see, he's heard what the men are saying, but he remembers here, he prayed the first time and God told him, so he prays yet again. So not only does it require private prayer, but the second requirement is this. It requires prompt obedience. Now, I know this is very deep here. This is very simple. But a lot of times I think I have a problem with the simple things. Verse 5 tells us, so David and his men went to Keilah. David and his men. You know, we should not delay in doing God's will. Many times if we delay, we allow ourselves to be distracted from what God desires for us to accomplish. Now that David's prompt obedience, it engaged those who were following him. Think about it here. These men had just said, we're afraid. This is not a good time. We have a foe out there. We're not only risking our lives against the Philistines, but then we're exposing ourselves to Saul and we're afraid. And rightfully so, no doubt. I'm sure I would have been afraid as well. But David goes again and God tells him again, the Bible tells us, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah. Prompt obedience. Does that not show you the confidence that these men had in David? David came out the first time and said, we're supposed to go and fight with the Philistines. It's not a good time. We're afraid. Saul, Philistines. Not a good time. David goes back, no doubt in this tent, goes back, I don't know where, but privately, and comes back and says, God says, go, let's go. And they all go. There's no question this time. Why? Because they know that David knows that it's God's will. You see, many times if we delay obedience, people will not follow in the will of God. Since David was convinced to do God's will, then these men were convinced that David was following the Lord's leading. And when we follow the Lord's leading, we influence many people around us. But can you imagine how many times we delay and say, okay, well, I know what God wants me to do, but let me give it a few weeks. Well, let me pray about it some more. Boy, God said go. God said go. How many goes do you need? And so he went. And I think that many times here, these are the simple two requirements. Now, this is not deep theology here. This is very simple. But many times that's where we fail in these several things. Because when we get opposed, we don't continue in private prayer and we don't have a prompt obedience to the will of God. So we have not only the requirements for continuing in God's will, but we have the reward for continuing in God's will. Notice the end of verse 4. God says to David, arise, go down to Keilah. Notice, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Notice the first reward for continuing God's will is doing God's will is always accompanied by a promise. God always has a promise to give us when we obey Him. He says, you go, I'll provide for you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. All these requirements of obedience are accompanied by a promise. If you do this and obey me in doing this, then I will do this. There is always a promise in the will of God once we obey the will of God, and that's a reward. Because the promises of God are not available to the disobedient children of God. They're not. They're available to those that are obedient to God. So the reward of continuing God's will is not only a promise, but also doing God's will is always accompanied by provision. The Bible tells us in verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. There's a little thing in here. The Bible says, and they brought away their cattle. There was provision there. Now, these men didn't have a home. It just came from a cave. Do you think that maybe they needed some food? I just see it this way. That many times we think about the will of God and we don't see all of it, but God sees all of it. So do you see at the beginning here, God said through the prophet Gad to David, go down to Judah. David obeys the Lord. He goes down to Judah. And through God's providence and David's prayer and God's precepts, we find that David obeyed the Lord and says, I know this is the will of God. Now, he didn't know what was going to happen. And although there was opposition, David continuing doing God's will. And guess what here? Not only did they get God's promise, but they received something that they needed that they never thought would come out of obeying the Lord. You know, many times when we do the will of God, we don't see all of it, but God sees the end result. And maybe it is just that many times we don't see the cattle at the end of the story, But God sees the cattle at the end of the story. And many times we have to follow God till we see the cattle, till we see God's provision. And then we realize, wow, this is why all this happened. This is why God wanted me to go to Judah. I see now God's providence. And through my prayer and through God's precepts, I see all that, and all through the opposition, I'm glad that I continue doing God's will. Because now we have cattle. Now we've been provided for. Now we can eat. Now we can be strengthened. We have what we need. You see, but we don't see that. That's why when it comes to the will of God, it is important for us to come to God in an honest heart and say, God, I want to know what you want for my life. And to understand that even through the opposition, when fear sets in, friends oppose and foes, that we have to continue in private prayer and prompt obedience. And then we get to sit back and see what God does. That's what happened here. So let me ask you this again, as I said earlier. Don't miss God's will for your life. This was God's will at that moment for David's life. But you know, you'll never find in the Word of God, never. If you see an instance, show it to me. But you'll never find in the Bible when God says to a man, Abraham, remember Abraham, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, all these men, God, and we know their stories, but God didn't tell them what was going to happen, and they didn't have the Word of God. Many times you just said, all right, Abraham, get out of Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land. What land? That I will show thee. See, he had to go. Moses, go to Egypt. I'll deliver the people. You just go. Well, what do I do? What am I going to say? Just go, Moses. David, go down to Judah. Why, Lord? Go down to Judah. You know, in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit within us and we have God's Word. And God will tell us to go. And we don't see the end of the road. What we see and hear is when God tells us, go. You know, I wondered how many times in my life I've missed the will of God. And I've never received the provision that God intended me for me to have. Can you imagine, maybe there's a room in heaven, like in our mansions, you know, a little like storage shed in the back, where God brings us and says, all right, let me show you this shed back here. Let's open it up. See all these things? That's all the things I wanted to give to you in your life. But you never followed my will. You never received those things. Now, these are the things you receive, but look at all the things you've missed. Now, I think if we examine our lives, we would realize so many times that there are times of decision-making in our lives and we have chosen to say, well, I know what God's will is, but I'm just afraid to take the next step. You know what? I have good friends around me that said, this is not the right decision. And there's foes. But let's follow the example of David, who said, this is my will, the will of God for my life, and I will do it. And they got rewarded. Let's remain faithful to God and trust God through the process of obeying to His will. Let's ask the Lord to help us.